Thank you. My sisters and brothers, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, good morning and welcome to our service of worship here at First Presbyterian Church, Fond du Lac. We are so very glad that you are here. Whether you are worshiping with us in person, whether you are worshiping with us on our live streaming service, or if you are catching us a couple of days from now on our YouTube channel, wherever you are, we are glad you are with us today. Just a couple of brief announcements. I hope you were watching what was being shown on the screen. Of course, you have information in your bulletin. Today is the blessing of the backpacks, and we are going to ask everyone, public, private, homeschool, whatever tangential relationship you have to education, to please come forward at the time of the children's message for the blessing of the backpacks. I have my backpack right over there. Today, most of the sermon time will go to the Congregational Mission Study team. I hope you are able to pay close attention to that. There is a timeline in your bulletin, a mission study timeline of what is happening, the events coming up. I hope that you will read that closely and carefully. After worship today, growing connections, that is adult faith formation, growing connections, a time of sermon discussion. Brother Pedro is leading this. I believe we're going to do it in the fellowship hall today. Hope you will be a part of that. If the only growing in your faith is you're doing is coming to this service 1 hour a week, friend, you are starving. Okay? We all need more than this to grow in our faith. So please take advantage of these opportunities. Please notice the information about the book study forthcoming, and the new member classes and old member classes. And I've always wondered, what about, why does Romans come first in the letters of Paul, even though Paul had nothing to do with that church? Why does that letter come first? There's actually a very good reason for that, and we'll talk about it during that time. We're here today to worship God, and we worship God in many ways. And one of the ways we do that is by learning about ourselves. The more we know about ourselves, the more we know how much God loves us. The more we know how much God loves us, the more we know about ourselves. My sisters and brothers, let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship the God who knows us so very, very well.
Good morning. Please join me for the call to worship. God welcomes us all, whoever we are, wherever we are, however we are. God welcomes us all. Beloved, let us worship our God who never leaves anyone out. O God, our dwelling place, in Christ you made your home among us. Lead us in the paths of truth and integrity until you bring us to our heavenly home and we live forever in your presence through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness.
And our call to confession. We turn away from God, often not knowing any better. Yet, God keeps inviting us and keeps reaching out to us in love. In penitence and faith, let us turn towards God and seek forgiveness. Excuse me. Free us from the temptation of pursuing just our own pleasure. Help us to live in harmony with all your people, sharing one world and gathering around one table for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
With abundant grace and mercy that reaches wide, God gathers us and cleanses us, making us new, making us whole. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. Now that we are at peace with God, let us be at peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Will you please share God's peace with those around you? Now is an excellent time to send a short text or an email to someone who can't be with us today.
Glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now,
friends, please be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke in the 14th chapter. Jesus is talking to the people who are following him about discipleship. And of course, discipleship, disciple, discipline, we hear the connection there. A disciple is a learner. That's what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is one who learns, who follows in the steps of the master. This, then, is what Jesus says to the crowds about what it means to be his disciple. Now, large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." My beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This time, I would like to invite not only the children forward, but also those who are part of the liturgy of the blessing of the backpacks, and all of you who are involved in education in whatever way. Please bring your packs with you. Just a word, remember that I am part of this too. The preaching gown that you see me wear lots of Sundays is actually modeled on the master's gowns of the medieval university. In fact, when we are ordained as ministers of word and sacrament, we are also ordained as teaching elders. That is, we teach by word and deed what it means to be a disciple, a learner of Jesus. Presbyterians have many rights to be sinfully proud. Our commitment to education is one of them. And there's always somebody who's talking in class. You know that? You know that? Jennifer, please, step up and bring some order here, would you? Thank you.
Please follow along and join us in this liturgy for the back to school. Lord God, today we gather to celebrate the beginning of a new school year. It is a day filled with joy and excitement, as well as uncertainty and wonder. God of knowledge and wisdom, we pray for our schools that they may be lively centers for learning and new discovery. We pray also for our workplaces, places of work, that our time laboring will be fruitful and enriching.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, as we begin this year, give us all open minds and open hearts to learn and experience more fully the majesty of the world you have created. Give us peace when we feel nervous, focus when we feel distracted, and energy when we feel tired.
Lord, bless these backpacks and the children and youth who carry them. Guide them in making good choices as they grow in wisdom and maturity. Be ever present with them in the classroom or lesson, on the school bus, the athletic field, the playground, after school jobs, and at home. May they feel your loving care in all they do.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on these tags. May they remind us not to be conformed to the patterns of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Loving God, bless all who will teach us in the coming days and weeks and months. Give them the wisdom to find inspiration for each child. Give them the energy, creativity, and love that will make their work a blessing to our children. Hear our prayer.
Lord, bless all educational staff that they may be faithful stewards of the resources entrusted to their care. Guide them to do their crucial work with a spirit of grace and compassion.
God of wisdom and knowledge, bless these backpacks, book bags, briefcases, and totes, and the students, teachers, and workers who carry them. Remind us that you are always with us. Fill us all with the joy of learning new things so that we may be better equipped to follow and serve you in all we do. Amen.
We thank you so much for being a part of this blessing, and we ask that you would keep all of our children and teachers and adults and learn who are all learning, all of us learning in your prayers for this next school year. And we have backpack tags that we'll put out in the narthex. If you feel called that you have someone that you would like to share that with, or if you want to take one of those for yourself, just to remember the love of God with you in all you do this year in this educational year. Thank you.
Can I have one? Thank you, ma'am. If you will allow me a moment of personal privilege, the satchel that you see me carry was given to me by my in-laws my senior year in seminary. So you know how long I've been ordained. L.L. Bean makes good satchels. I'll tell you that. And I am privileged and proud to be able to carry the satchel that marks me as both a teacher and a learner, even to this day. Friends, imagine that you need a new refrigerator. Ring a bell with anyone? You need a new refrigerator. And so you do the research. You talk to your friends. You determine exactly what you want. You go to the store and buy the refrigerator of your dreams. You are ecstatic. Finally, the refrigerator is delivered to your home. And given today's supply chain issues, it's been a while, right, since you bought it. Finally, the refrigerator is delivered to your home, and that's when you realize you never measured the hole. You never figured out how much space you have. The refrigerator is too big. It won't fit. Should have measured first. Jesus is talking to his followers. He says, if you were going to build a house, wouldn't you figure out how much it would cost and whether or not you could afford it? If you wanted to wage a war, wouldn't you stop to figure out if you had enough troops to actually win? Of course, Jesus is talking about discipleship. Are you sure you want to live a life of self-giving love? Do you really want to follow me to the cross? Have you figured out exactly what discipleship is going to cost you? Jesus has a good point. Don't go off half-cocked. Measure twice, cut once. Will the new refrigerator fit? How big is the hole? It's good advice for churches, too. Before we start a new ministry, do we have space for that ministry? Before we schedule a mission trip, have we determined if anyone will actually go? Before we hire a new pastor, have we decided what we want that pastor to do? So far, we've heard from our congregational mission study team about our community. What are our local mission opportunities? We've heard about our church's past. Who were we? Now, we're going to hear about our church today. Who are we? What are we like? What assets do we have? What are we capable of doing? What might hold us back? What might help us? In a few weeks, we'll be talking about the direction in which we should be moving and what sort of pastor we'll need to help us go there. But today we're asking ourselves the preliminary question. Who are we? What do we have? Would that refrigerator fit? It would be awful to begin building a new house and discover we don't have enough money to finish. It would be tragic to start a war we couldn't win. It would be sad to buy the world's best refrigerator only to find it won't fit. So, let's get busy and start measuring.
Okay, how am I? Is Is it too close or we're good? Okay, excellent. So good morning. My name is Christina Arellano, and today we are going to look at the results of the Congregational Mission Study Team survey. Before we begin, I would like to announce that the Congregational Mission Study Team is looking for someone who enjoys editing reports and knows how to create a good report layout. Specifically, we need someone who can insert pictures and graphs into paragraph texts and make our report look visually easy to read. So if that is you, please talk to me or Jolene. Where are you, Jolene? She's somewhere. Oh, there she is, over there. We would love your assistance in this. Well, let's begin. There were a total of 47 questions on the survey. We received a total of 87 responses. And we feel this number of responses gives us a good representation of our church. The number of responses is very close to our average Sunday morning attendance, which is 85 people. Before I present the information, I want to explain a few details about what you will see. First of all, not everyone answered all of the questions, and some people also made up their own answers. If you fall into one of those two categories, you are represented by the category labeled as NA, other. Secondly, due to time constraints, we won't go into all the written comments today. However, they will be included in the final report. And any made-up answers will also be included along with the written comments in the final report. So in conclusion, all of the information you hear today comes from the answers we received from your surveys. Okay. Does not want to. Not working. Oh, here goes. Okay. Finally, as you can see in this example, the small numbers inside the wedges are the total number of people who chose this answer. Okay. Oh, good point. I was not turned on. Sorry about that. I'm a little nervous here, so okay. Well, this is a good start. Okay. We did practice this like twice. Sorry about that. Nope, I am not holding a button. You know, I wonder if I got like locked up or something. Is that good? Okay, fingers crossed here. Oh, thank goodness. I'm glad you're a nice congregation. Okay, this number 68 here. So that represents the total number of people who chose the answer that said, I am 55 years or older. Now, the gray numbers outside of the pie show the percentage of people who chose this answer. So there we could see that of all the people who chose that answer, 78% of the total answers were people who said 55 or older. If you have any questions regarding the results, Jolene and I will be in the narthex after the service to answer your questions. As you can see by the graph, we are an older congregation. 78% of us were age 55 or older, and the average age in Fond du Lac is 37.4 years. Two-thirds of our respondents were female. In comparison, 52% of Fond du Lac residents are female. The Pew Research Center shows that 55% of mainline Protestant churchgoers are female. So we have a higher female attendance than the average Protestant church. Two-thirds of our respondents are married. The national average of all adults is 53%. Only 16% of our respondents have stated they have children living with them. And as a reminder from the report given in July, we have 24 children on the Sunday school roster. We are a well-educated congregation. 48% of us have attained a bachelor's degree or higher. In comparison, only 23% of adults in Fond du Lac have this level of education, only 31% statewide, and only 33% nationwide. About 79% of us live within 6 miles of the church, but 21% of us drive in from out of town. So if we're just curious, if you are one of those 21% who live out of town, will you please stand? We are just curious where you live. Nobody's brave enough to stand up. Oh, thank you. Thank you for being brave. Can we ask, like, where do you guys live that you're driving quite a ways? We're honored for your presence. Van Dyne, okay. St. Peter? What was that? Pipe? Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for telling us. Okay. Almost 89% of our respondents were members. According to the Gallup poll, 47% of people nationwide are members of a church. This dropped from 70% in 1999. 85% of our respondents frequently attend a church, either attending most weeks or a few times a month. Based on Pew Research of adults nationwide who claim a religious affiliation, 36% attend religious services at least once a week, and 33% attend 1 to 2 times per month or year. If you compare these Pew Research statistics to our records, our church attendance matched national averages pre-COVID. Our weekly church attendance equaled 36% of our total membership. However, post-COVID, our numbers have dropped to 27% of total membership. That means there are several people who have not returned, and the question we're asking is, do we think they will return or not? We have a very stable church membership. Almost 59% of our respondents have been attending 20 years or longer. An additional 18% have been attending for at least 10 years. On this graph, we can see the main reasons people began attending our church. People could select multiple reasons for attending. The top three reasons were family and friends, they liked the pastor, and they've always been Presbyterian. Unfortunately, almost no one gave us an explanation as to why they checked the other category, which received a significant number of responses. Respondents were asked which aspects of First Presbyterian Church are the most meaningful to them. This graphic is a representation of what people wrote. The more often people wrote a word, the larger it grew. So you can see that the word worship was most frequently cited. 33 people said worship, 23 people said fellowship, and 13 people said mission activity. Our next slide uses the same approach. Respondents were asked to give three words to describe our church. The word welcoming was most frequently used. 32 people said welcoming. . 94% of respondents felt the church met their spiritual needs. It would be interesting to know what it would take to move the 59% who agreed into the strongly agreed category. Similarly, 94% felt that the church is an important part of their life. When asked about adult faith formation, over half of respondents said they rarely attend. When asked why they didn't attend, the answers were all over the board. But the general sense that we got was there wasn't a strong interest in adult faith formation. And this causes us to wonder if our adults are interested in growing in faith. When forced to choose between a thoughtful sermon or moving inspirational music, about 75% of people chose a thoughtful sermon. This is in keeping with the Gallup poll regarding what people look for in a church. Oh, this is the old graph. Okay. In a 2017 study, they found that churchgoers cite sermons as the primary reason they attended church. Other major drawing points were spiritual programs geared towards children and teenagers, community outreach with volunteer opportunities, and dynamic leaders. So despite our disagreements over music and worship styles, according to the Gallup poll, a good music program is low on the list of priorities for most potential new members. Kim, do you have the one that says version 2? I needed to take a drink anyway. I'll just continue with this. We're at slide number 20. When asked about musical preferences, 57% of our congregation preferred a blended service with both organ and praise band. 31% preferred a traditional service with organ music, and 12% preferred a contemporary praise band service. So in summary, this is not what, or this is what we most care about, but the quality or style of music is not what most potential new members care about when looking for a church. When asked if people felt knowledgeable about Presbyterian beliefs, 68% indicated they were satisfied with their knowledge. When asked how they felt about belonging to the Presbyterian Church USA, 60% of respondents were committed to remaining Presbyterian. When asked about general theological tendencies, 46% reported conservative and 37% reported liberal. 17% declined to answer. When asked about political tendencies, 53% said conservative and 37% said liberal. 10% declined to answer. Overall, our church views itself as more conservative than liberal. And just please note that in the last presidential election, Fond du Lac County voted 63% Republican. Next, we asked questions about difficult topics regarding staffing choices. First, we asked opinions regarding people's comfort level in hiring someone from an ethnic minority group. Overall, of those who responded, 89% were fine with it. One of the main reasons people gave for marking ambivalent or opposed were that they were concerned the church might hire someone with an accent that is difficult to understand. Secondly, we asked people's opinions regarding hiring an LGBTQIA pastor. Overall, 64% of people were fine with this, and approximately 37% were opposed. In contrast, when asked about hiring an LGBTQIA staff, meaning not a pastor, people felt more comfortable. 76% of people were fine with this, and 13% were opposed. And I find it interesting that more of us are okay with hiring an LGBTQIA staff person than pastor. When asked about hiring a female pastor, 93% of people were fine with this. Unfortunately, it was brought to our attention that we didn't ask survey questions about people with special needs or who are differently abled, and we apologize for overlooking this very important topic. Next, we're going to talk about volunteering. 25% of our respondents volunteer several times a month, 25% volunteer several times a year, 21% volunteer a few times a year, and 26% don't volunteer at all. At least 10 people commented that the reason they don't volunteer is that they are physically unable due to health reasons. Next year, 55% hope to maintain their current level of volunteering. 17% plan to increase their level of volunteering, and 6% hope to decrease. 44% of our respondents have served on session. As you can see, the number of people who have served as a deacon in our church is exactly the same number of people who have served on our session. This number is not a mistake. While the numbers for deacon and session members match, not everyone who served as a deacon has also served as an elder on our session. We can see from the paper surveys that at least 20 individuals did only one or the other. So if we include online responses, the number would be much higher. So in other words, we don't have 44% doing all the work. Rather, we have many people involved in these positions and have shared the workload throughout the years. The next slide shows how often people invite others to church. Only 19% of respondents are actively inviting people to church. This is a topic we definitely need to reflect on. Our church membership and attendance is in decline, but as individuals, we aren't actively doing much about it. If we don't feel confident enough to invite people to our church, we need to ask ourselves why. And we'll come back to this topic in a few minutes. Gonna take a drink here. Next, we're going to talk about income and staffing. Approximately 40% of our congregation earns about as much as the Fond du Lac average annual income. And about 40% of us earn more. So we are a reasonably high income congregation. At the same time, a significant number of us earn much less than the Fond du Lac average. The gospel calls for all people to work together to love and serve the Lord. The fact that we have such a wide range of incomes says that we are a mixed congregation. We include people from a wide variety of economic backgrounds. The range of our individual incomes, from the highest to the lowest, is a sign of the social health of our church. Recent studies have found that social cohesion, which is the ability of groups to act as a whole, increases where there are differences in income. When asked about our understanding of the church budget, 68% of us feel comfortable with our knowledge. When asked about financially supporting the church, 53 of our respondents stated that financially supporting the church is high on their list of priorities. If no one else made financial donations, this would represent 17% of our total membership. According to Vanco Faith, only 5% of churchgoers nationwide tithe at least 10% of their income. We don't know what percentage of their income our respondents gave, but we appear to be a more generous congregation than the national average. Overall, 95% of our regular attendees give at least some financial donations. When asked if respondents have remembered our church in their will, 17% said yes. I would remind you that 78% of us are over the age 55. Some of us need to get busy. But seriously, a will is our last chance to be a good steward of what God has given us. And here is a cool little tidbit. August is National Wills Month. When asked how we are feeling about staffing, 66% felt we were just right. 22% felt we were understaffed, and 3% felt we were overstaffed. And while our opinions are very important, I decided to do some research and find out what other churches do in regards to staffing. And I was rather shocked at what I learned in comparison to what our church does. According to Vander Blomen, a Christian executive search firm that helps churches search for and hire staff, the average church spends 52% of their budget on staff compensation, with 60% on the high end. We run slightly over the high end at 69% of our total budget. The average church has equivalent of one full-time staff per 77 people attending on a Sunday morning. This includes all pastoral staff, assistant pastors, worship directors, administrative assistants, and custodial crew. The older the church, the more full-time employees they have compared to younger churches of the same size and growth rate. So naturally, we would have more staff than the average church. So how are we doing with our staffing? If you add up the total number of paid man hours during the week and divide it by 40, we have the equivalent of 4.8 full-time staff. If you look back at our previous chart as a comparison, we are at the bottom 10% of efficiency. We have one staff per 18 people attending on a Sunday morning. Let's review these statistics. According to Vander Blomen, a Christian executive search firm, the average church spends 52% of their budget on staff compensation, with 60% on the high end. We run slightly over the high end at 69% of our total budget. The average church has the equivalent of one full-time staff per 77 people attending on a Sunday morning. This includes all pastoral staff, assistant pastors, worship directors, administrative assistants, custodial crew, etc. In contrast, we have one staff per 18 people attending on a Sunday morning. So the question is, what do these statistics mean? I'm going to just take a drink. According to research by the Unstuck Group, overstaffing is often a warning sign that the church is heading into trouble. When a church discovers it is overstaffed, they should ask themselves these three questions. Question one, have we become insider focused? Typically, an overstaffed church is paying people to do ministry and run programs to keep longtime people in the church happy. Question two, do we have a poor culture of volunteerism? There is a direct connection between staffing and volunteerism at churches. Generally, the more a church spends on staffing, the less likely attenders are to serve. And question three, has the church stopped growing? There is also a direct connection between staffing and church growth. The more a church spends on staff, the more the rate of attendance growth slows. Let me repeat that. The more a church spends on staff, the more the rate of attendance growth slows. Church growth does not occur by hiring more staff. Rather, church growth happens when churchgoers get excited about volunteering and take ownership of the various ministries in their church. When the Congregational Mission Study Team began our research and created the survey, we were not aware of these warning signs. However, some of the trends seen in our survey align with these warning signs. So let's go over these three warning signs point by point. Warning sign one, have we become insider focused? On a positive note, we are a church that clearly cares about their community. We participate in numerous missions in the community. Several organizations use our building to further their mission work. In general, we have a very good relationship with many of our city's nonprofit organizations. On the flip side, we aren't very good at inviting people to attend our church. And as a result, our church membership and financial resources are significantly declining. Only 19% of respondents actively invite people to church. Warning sign number two, do we have a poor culture of volunteerism? Based on our survey results, we think of ourselves as a very active church. 50% of respondents indicated they were very active, and 21% indicated they were somewhat active. Lots of people expressed interest in volunteering for many different types of activities. However, based on discussion during the annual meeting, we often struggle to find people willing to volunteer for various roles. This struggle exists for both long-term commitments, such as leadership roles, and low-level commitment roles. For example, on the survey, 38 people indicated they were interested in hosting fellowship time after the worship service. Yet just 2 weeks ago, we were scrambling to throw together our fellowship time because nobody had signed up. So it appears that there is a lot of interest in volunteering, but too many of us are not actually volunteering. Too many of us are waiting to be personally asked. Or we fill our lives with so many different activities that we don't have time to volunteer. And warning sign three, have we stopped growing? Clearly, our membership and attendance is significantly down. The good news is we have had some new members coming in. 10 people indicated that they began attending our church within the past 5 years. The big question is, where do we want to go as a church? We have a budget that is not sustainable. And I would remind you that our treasurer has said we only have 2 to 3 years before we exhaust all our financial reserves. And yet only 19% of us are actively inviting people to church. So we need to ask ourselves the question, what is the purpose of our church? Why do we exist? Clearly we exist because we share a belief in God and have a desire to serve God. Beyond that starting point, what do we really believe about ourselves? We have an amazing, loving, intelligent, resourceful congregation, but it appears we are too afraid to invite people to join us. It is not the pastor or the staff's primary responsibility to invite people to church. Rather, it is the congregation's, because we are the ones who will still be here after they move on. So we have some choices to make. First of all, we need to decide what we want to do about inviting people to church. If we really don't feel comfortable inviting people to church, that's fine, but then we have to accept the fact that our church membership will continue to decline. Our future church ministry should then focus on caring for people currently attending our church and enable people to continue their work in the community. On the other hand, if we decide we want to become bold and begin inviting people to church and grow, we need to identify the reasons why that isn't happening and work on removing those barriers. Secondly, we have to decide what demographics of people we want to invite and evaluate how willing are we to volunteer our time in support of those ministries. For example, we have a huge number of older members. Do we want to capitalize on that strength and make older adults our primary focus? Or do we want to rebuild our children's ministry? If we want children and youth to be our focus, that will require a huge increase in our volunteer efforts. First of all, does our congregation know enough families with children to invite? If we don't know many children, it may be difficult to build a children's ministry. We will need people to take over many of Jennifer's responsibilities so that she is freed up to really throw herself into rebuilding an amazing children's program. The next slide we will need to make is what to do regarding staffing. We may choose to maintain our current level of staffing, but we need to remember that more staffing tends to mean these three things: slower growth rate of the congregation, decreased attendance, and especially decreased volunteerism. We need to consider if paying staff to do things that we could do ourselves is the best use of our limited resources. Without a sudden drastic change in financial pledges, we will be unable to hire a new pastor at the current level of education and experience that we have enjoyed with Pastor Jack or Pastor Ken. That doesn't mean we won't be able to hire an amazing pastor, but it does mean that the number of potential candidates will be lower. We may have to adjust our expectations of what's most important to us in our next pastor. Finally, we need to figure out how to balance our budget. According to our financial gurus, we don't have much wiggle room in our budget. In order to maintain current spending levels, we would need to bring in an additional $76,000 a year. That means within the next year, we would need to bring in 20 new members who are willing to donate $3,800 a year, or have 20 current families increase their giving by $3,800 per year. Also keep in mind that within the next few years, we will need to replace our furnace, which will be about a $50,000 expense. And within 5 years, we will need to resurface the church parking lot, which will cost around $80,000. I know a lot of this information sounds bleak, and it honestly, it felt very bleak to the Congregational Mission Study team. And it was really hard for us to put this information together. And honestly, I was very scared to stand up here in front of you guys and share this information with you. But I truly believe we are, in reality, we are a very blessed congregation. Even if we were not able to maintain current staffing, our ratios of staff to attendees would still be way above national averages. We have a mixed income church with individuals who make well above the Fond du Lac average, as well as many who make well below the Fond du Lac average. As a result, we have members who know how to minister across all levels of economic barriers. We are a well-educated church with education levels way beyond national averages. We are resourceful. As Pastor Ken says, we are one of the most creative congregations he's ever met. We have a very skilled older congregation that has a lot to offer us younger folks. Personally, I feel we are missing out on a mentorship opportunity. I wish I had some of you financial gurus at my side in my 20s and 30s when I had no clue how to read financial paperwork or manage a budget that actually worked, or learn how to drill a hole in a wall without damaging it so I could hang up shelving. We have an amazing building and property that we are blessed to be able to share with our community. We have a strong relationship with many community organizations. And most importantly, we have a congregation that really cares about its church. We have been through challenging times before, and I know we will be able to work together and come to a solution. In conclusion, we have options. We can become any church we decide to be. While our past informs our future, it does not decide our future. While our past informs our future, it does not decide our future. While our past informs our future, it does not decide our future. In about a month, you will have the opportunity to weigh in on the future direction of our church. We will be making some decisions about which direction to go in our future missions and ministry. Rather than do ministry as we've always done it, let's take this opportunity to seriously examine our ministry strengths and weaknesses, pray for God's guidance, and be bold enough to make some hard choices about who we want to become as a congregation. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. Christina has raised some important issues and asked some necessary questions. And some of you might be wondering what we should do about them. Let me say, it is not the study team's job, it is not the study team's place to make decisions. That is our session's job. The team's job is to do the research and report the results to the session. They might make recommendations, but the team cannot do anything. That's why we have a session. And I hope if the nominating team asks you, that you will prayerfully consider serving on our session. We need strong leadership. We need leaders we can trust. We need leaders who have our best interest and the gospel's best interest at heart. We need leaders who will lead us closer to the foot of the cross. I'm sure some of you would like to review what Christina has just shared. Our service is being recorded today. So in another day or two, you will find the link on our website. But right now, everything we're doing is just a draft. We're keeping everyone posted on our progress, but nothing is ready to be printed. After our final presentation, that's the one in November, we will present the finished study to our session. If session approves, they will forward it to our Presbytery's Committee on Ministry. If the COM approves, then we will publish the final version and make links to read it online. Everyone who wants to be able to read it will be able to, including prospective pastors. So please be thinking about what you've heard. Talk among yourselves. If you can, please, please, please be at the worship services on September the 25th and October the 9th. These are very important days for our congregational mission study. Again, we are a good church. We are a good church, and I have no doubt we will have many qualified candidates. But before we call our next pastor, we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to the pastor. And most of all, we owe it to the good news of God to ask all the necessary questions. Do we have enough money to finish the house? Do we have enough troops to win the war? That new refrigerator may be wonderful, but will it fit in our kitchen? How big is the hole? I ask you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and eternal God, we rejoice this morning in the gift of life, which we have received by your grace, and the new life you give in Jesus Christ. Especially, we thank you for our ministries of compassion, of witness, and service. We thank you for those who make and grow the things we need, for the communities in which we live, not just Fond du Lac, but the surrounding town. We thank you for the strengths and our abilities to serve you today and indications of your love at work in the world. God of grace, we offer our prayers for the needs of others and commit ourselves to serve them even as you have served us in Jesus Christ. Especially today, we pray for your church in Africa, for the missionaries, for the mission partners, for the people there, especially those who are suffering in long-standing times of war, the countries where democracy is unstable. We pray for those who work to help us conserve our natural resources, soil, water, air. We pray for those closest to us and for the friends and relatives who are far away. We pray for all who care for others in body, mind, and spirit. Today, especially, Lord, we lift up to your mercy and your blessings Peter and Gary and Pete, Pat and Gib, Arnold, Pauline and Brian. We ask your abundant mercy to flow over Chastity and Joan, Jerry and Mary, Jane and Silas, Jesse, Ruth, and Les. God of our salvation, on this new day, heaven and earth sing your praise. Cause us now to live and grow in faith so that we may bear good fruit for the glory of your holy realm through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, as God has blessed us with generosity, let us return God's gift to share the generous good news. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings.
The word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me. yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. Thy word is a light to my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're the light unto my path.
We give thee
gracious Lord God, we pray you to take this offering and to multiply it abundantly, that it may go forth from this place to bring the good news of your love to all who need to hear it so very badly. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Christina and Jolene will be out in the narthex. If you have questions for them, please spend some time together in fellowship. Stay for talk back, sermon conversation. And friends, most of all, I solemnly charge you in the name of the crucified, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Ask hard questions. Struggle with hard answers. But be bold, be confident. Lift high the cross and proclaim the love of God. As you do so, friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord God this day and always lift God's loving face to you and grant you God's own peace. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia. Amen.
Okay, we know the routine for the final hymn. That church sings, that side of the church sings with Nancy and this side with me.
Farewell, good friends, farewell, good friends. Shalom, shalom, till we meet again, till we meet again. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom, shalom.